This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Many questions remain about the outcome of a recent coal ash spill that sent 82,000 tons of potentially toxic material into the Dan River. On Tuesday night, more than 100 people, including EPA representatives, gathered in Danville, Virginia, to talk about the spill and possible cleanup efforts. But there are still many unanswered questions. What's the best way to clean up the river? Who's going to bear responsibility for the cleanup? And how can we prevent something like this from happening again? Jeff Tiberi is WUNC reporter who is covering the spill. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine. Tell us, let's back up a little bit. Talk about the spill and tell us a little bit about what happened.
So there is a... So there are coal ash ponds throughout the state where coal is combusted and turned into energy. The residue from that, the byproduct, is stored in these unlined coal ash ponds. They're unlined because years ago when the coal ash ponds came about, there was no requirement to have any kind of lining or caps for them. So at the site in Eden, North Carolina, about 45 minutes north of Greensboro, this coal-fired power plant has not been in use since April of 2012. At the same time, kind of independent from the coal ash pond, there is a stormwater pipe that goes from the old coal-fired power plant into the Dan River. Well, in time, as Duke made more and more power, there was more and more coal ash, and the pond expanded. It expanded over a pipe, a stormwater pipe, and on Super Bowl Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago, that pipe broke. It took almost a week for the pipe to be closed off, and 82,000 tons of coal ash, potentially toxic coal ash, went into the Dan River.
When you say closed off, is it completely closed off or only partially, and is there still coal ash leaking into the river?
The indication from EPA and Duke at this point is that there is not, it has been sealed completely. This pipe, this stormwater pipe, is almost 1,000 feet in length. They've filled just a fraction of that with cement. At this point, they say there is no coal ash that is continuing to go into the river.
All right. Tell us about the meeting in Danville. Lots of questions raised. First of all, tell us who was there.
An assortment and collection of people. The presenters, mainly it was the EPA, but there also were state officials from a number of agencies in North Carolina, as well as Virginia state officials, because you got to remember that the Dan River goes from Virginia to North Carolina, back to Virginia, and there were federal and state officials. There was a representative from Duke there. He did not speak, but there was somebody from the company on hand.
All right, so what were those environmental officials saying?
Okay, so they answered questions mainly. They did a little bit of a presentation about what has happened at this point, what is going on the ground, and, you know, the audience for the most part was made up of concerned citizens and environmentalists from really throughout the region, and they had a lot of questions.
Tell us about those questions.
Well, there were an hour and a half worth probably after the presentation. A lot of them are unanswered, including the stormwater pipe that ran under the coal ash pond. Was it legal to have it there? Was it negligent to have it there? What is the specific plan, specific timeline for cleanup? The governor said to me previously this week, the EPA has also said that Duke will be held accountable. What does accountability mean in this situation? Other questions, why weren't warning signs posted around the spill along the river in the aftermath of it? The long term, who will pay for sampling of fish tissue? Then, of course, there are some larger, bigger picture questions about other coal ash ponds in the state. Will any cleanup happen at the more than other, at the more than 30 other sites? How will it happen? When will it happen? There are other questions, but I'll curtail it at this point.
But those questions are the ones that we don't have hard answers for yet.
Correct.
So, and there's a question about dredging this thing. Okay, it happened. You've still got some coal ash there. Let's get it out of there. And apparently Duke is saying, well, that might cause even bigger problems.
So they're saying that at this point, picture this charcoal-colored pond the size of maybe a small pond that you could see at a golf course maybe. Underneath it is this broken pipe that has been plugged to an extent. Well, there are men working in this this body of coal ash, and Duke says it's still assessing what might have happened to the pipe, and there is a concern that if they were to just start moving a whole lot of coal ash, the pipe could break in another location, and it's not entirely clear what might happen if that were to happen.
Meanwhile, there is a second separate pipe underneath the same pond. Can you tell us about that?
Again, lots of questions about why it's there. Did Duke know it was there? Did the coal ash expand over that stormwater pipe? This one is a little bit smaller. The first one was 48 inches in diameter. This one is 36 inches in diameter. They're trying to determine if it is structurally sound. Also, you know, is there any risk of this happening again with another stormwater pipe? Do they fill this pipe with cement? And then the question becomes, okay, if two stormwater pipes are filled with cement, what to do with all the stormwater? How do you divert it around the coal ash pond? Can that be done quickly and efficiently and in a way that stormwater is not pushing more coal ash into the Dan River?
Again, good questions. Any answers at the hearing?
No, not on that front at this point. They're remaining vigorous and taking a fresh look and investigating what happened and what to do moving forward. That's the Duke line at this point.
What is the status of the drinking water in Danville and in from the Dan River?
So it is still safe. That is the indication from the water treatment and the wastewater treatment folks in Danville, Virginia. They say that there is no risk of the water at this point that has been treated. It's safe, and you'd have to wonder if everybody in Danville feels safe drinking it, but the indication is that it is safe for people to consume.
Yeah, people are being warned against long-term exposure to the Dan River. What does that mean?
I think essentially it means stay out of the water and away from the river for the most part. The environmentalists pointed out to me that, you know, our skin is porous. It's much different than the scales or the skin of a fish. So toxic substances are likely to more quickly have adverse effects on us than aquatic life.
All right. Some people at the hearing were, again, a number of questions, some accusations, including this one from environmentalist Amy Adams about the potential preventability of this bill. Let's listen.
Absolutely, 100% unequivocally, this was preventable. Had the EPA passed regulations in 2008 after Kingston, we would have regulations guiding on a federal level how this ash was stored.
Tell us about that spill that she referred to.
So this was a TVA Kingston spill that occurred in December of 2008. It was much, much bigger in scale. It released 1.1 billion tons of this coal ash into surrounding areas, up to the point of 6 feet of coal ash in the surrounding area. It destroyed homes. It killed a great number of fish. And this was a major national news story. And afterward, there was a lot of talk about, you know, new regulations, considerations for coal ash cleanup. President Obama made statements about it. The White House said there would be action, but really nothing from a legislative standpoint came from it.
All right, and that TVA, obviously this happened in Tennessee, not in North Carolina. But
correct.
Again, it was a big enough event that we're supposed to. Now, politicians here, including the governor, are talking about, at least legislatively, perhaps some legislation to demand Duke be responsible for the cleanup. Is that right?
That's right. The state Senate Rules Chairman, as well as a member of the House Environmental Committee, have indicated that they would sponsor a bill seeking the removal of coal ash dumps like this one. Of course, that's two individuals saying they will sponsor a bill. Is there going to be enough support in the Senate? Would there be enough support in the House? Would the governor, who worked for Duke Energy for 29 years, allow it to go through? Would the governor veto it? I think that's obviously looking ahead. It's a possibility, but there's not exactly legislation knocking on the door here.
In the aftermath of this bill, the governor's come in for some criticism for delaying regulations that might have been some use in this case. What are they talking about? What regulations and how might they have been related to this bill?
So environmentalists wanted to sue and did sue Duke Energy over violations of the Clean Water Act. But Diener, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, stepped in at the last minute, kind of blocking that suit, saying that it would settle with Duke over cleanup on these coal-fired power plant coal ash ponds. And what happened was they reached a settlement proposal. There was a proposed settlement in place for two of the 14 different sites where there are coal ash ponds. Environmentalists said this was a real sweetheart deal and that it wasn't a true settlement, a settlement that would appease environmentalists and folks who cared about the water supply.
This leads to other criticisms that have been abroad for a while. I wonder if you heard any at the hearing this week, essentially that the changes that the McCrory administration has made with regard to environmental policy and the people that he's put in place to protect the environment are in effect the foxes watching the chicken house, that they might not be in a position to put into effect some of the rigid safeguards that we need to protect this kind of thing. Did you hear that at the hearing?
there was definitely some of that mentioned, that this administration has not been good stewards of the environment, has not held Duke to a standard that's high enough that Duke should be held to. That's the words of the environmentalist. It's also worth noting that Amy Adams, the woman who we heard from just a couple of moments ago, she worked for Diener for about a decade. She left mostly out of protest, out of the practices of this administration.
All right, Jeff, what's the next step in the process over the spill in the Dan River?
Testing is continuing. Testing is ongoing, both from a Duke and EPA and state standpoint. The drinking water remains safe, which is obviously very important. Duke is siphoning or vacuuming some of the coal ash out of the Dan River at a very highly concentrated place. And at this point, we wait for more details.
All right, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Jeff Tiberi, WNC reporter, attended a public meeting regarding coal ash spill, the one in Danville. The hearing was on Tuesday. On the state of things coming up, the way Hollywood has treated unconventional romance. We'll take a look at love in the movies on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.